Oh, I guess that's me. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, and we're back. Give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me okay. And thank you for joining Bitcoin Veteran Spaces number 259, where we talk about op return. No, I'm just kidding. We talk about fear mongering and emotional Bitcoiners spreading FUD. Just kidding again. And also grown men running around a field chasing after an oblong football that used to be made of pigskin. Okay, joking again. Just had to change the intro up a little bit for you guys, see if you're paying attention. But good morning again. Welcome in. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host. And looks like we have a few folks joining us up here on stage. Wade, Neil, BFP, Pubby, Coleman. Good morning to you all. And I think we have Texas coming up as the co-host. We'll see about that if, Eric can, help us out. But, yeah, thanks again to producer Eric for opening up the show. And let's take a look at the time chain today. It is Monday, September 8th, 2025. We are at Bitcoin block height number 913,746 with the Bitcoin price hovering just above $112,000, which means you can still pick up 892 sats for each US dollar. One announcement before we get started. Well, actually, we'll have two. The first announcement is Bitcoin Veterans is having our second annual summit on November 10th and 11th in Nashville, Tennessee. Would love to see you all there. Tickets are live at bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. Also, if you'd like to get involved, looking for speakers, panel topics, volunteers. So head there and plug your information in. Would love to hear from you. That summit is going to take place on November 10th and 11th. Again, 10th will be the conference day and the 11th will be range day. So that should be fun. Get involved. And then, other announcement. Sometimes I miss this one, but if you're in the audience, thank you for listening. Would love to have you come up and speak with us. If you'd like to, hit that microphone button in the bottom left. If you have questions, comments, snide remarks, funny memes, throw them in the comments. That's that purple pill in the bottom right of your screen. If you click on that, you'll still be able to hear us. Then you can type something in there or add an image if you don't know how spaces work. All right. That little PSA is out there now. Wanted to go around the horn and say good morning before we hop into topics. And if you bring up op return, man, I might beat you up. No, I'm just kidding. Wade, go ahead. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. Just want to give a shout out to the Ohio Bobcats, reigning MAC champions, taking down West Virginia Mountaineers in beautiful Athens, Ohio this weekend.
There you go. All right. Well, I opened it up with a little bit of pigskin comments, so I guess I deserve that. Neil, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Bob. I don't know. It's just another day.
Good deal. BFP, we got any birds out there this morning?
Kind of. I don't know if you can hear them. The cars are overwhelming the sound, so I can hear the birds, but I don't know if you guys can. It's a beautiful day out there.
Yes, alert out there. Pubby, good morning. Welcome.
Bob, hey, you brought up the pigskin. Yes, I don't even care if it's fiat as hell. Football was back, so football fiat is fine. Bitcoin for the rest. Thank you, sir.
Coleman, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, and last but not least, we have Texas Toast. Thanks for co-hosting again.
Good morning. I'm just here to talk sports. We got hockey coming up. We got SEC football. You know, we're here to have a good time. Bitcoin, what's Bitcoin? Who cares?
Exactly. And that's why we're going to dive right into Op Return this morning. Just kidding. But I do think there's several things that we can go over from the weekend. And, you know, anything's open here. But wanted to start off with a little bit of news. It looks like MicroStrategy or Strategy was snubbed from the S&P 500. I think that's a topic that Coleman might like to chat about. But also gold still near all-time highs and has outperformed Bitcoin this year. Coleman, any thoughts on this? And will Strategy be included in December?
Well, I would just like to say that a stop clock is right twice a day. So I think that was my two calls. I think MicroStrategy was going to underperform and gold was going to do quite well in the coming future. So outside of risking making myself look like a fool, that's pretty much all I know. I do think MicroStrategy will be included in the December. I think everyone was just kind of overzealous with them getting in their first shot. Again, they're very old school with the way that they decide this. Again, a lot of this is over my head, but I just think Bitcoiners, we really talk about having a long-term time preference, but I think that goes out the window anytime someone mentions something that's bullish for Bitcoin in general. We just lose our shit and we just think that it's going to happen immediately. So I think sometimes just taking a step back and looking at everything and kind of taking our time and make sure things are done right.
Yeah, Michael Saylor hasn't done the right blood ritual with the old men in Nantucket yet. So he's got that scheduled. They're gonna go do some laps around an owl in the woods, and then he'll be accepted into the club.
Yep, I'm just I'm bringing it on myself this morning, guys. Everybody's in like a wild mood, and I love it. This is really good stuff. So thank you for that. Any other thoughts on Strategy, gold, performance of other assets since we're having such a good time here this morning so far? All right, then we will move on to the next topic. Let's see. Oh, by the way, hey, since we have this up here, you guys might see a new face on the stage. We have Eric up here, and Eric is running two handles, but follow him. He is our producer. Did it all last week, doing a bang up job. And yeah, thanks for being up here, Eric. But guys, do follow him. Just wanted to give him a shout out. Thanks for all the work he's doing behind the scenes to help out with the show. Good to get you up here on stage too. So, you know, one thing I wanted to cover today that could be fun, maybe not, but you see a lot of turmoil going around the world, and over the weekend we got news that Japan's prime minister is resigning, UK's deputy prime minister resigned, France is broke, and Canada's prime minister, Mark Carney, is giving out stimulus to all of the poor Canadians out there. What do you guys make of this? We hear about, upcoming things in U.S. financial markets. We got CPI coming out this week, PPI coming out. The Fed is expected to cut. Don't want to get too heavy into macro, but are you guys, what kind of sense are you getting for what could come? What do you guys think about all this stuff going on?
Yeah, I mean, if we could get Yomar up here to cover some of this stuff. He's been slacking on our geopolitics coverage, but it seems like we're getting these teasers over and over again. It feels like every weekend now we get a teaser for Gaza, ceasefire in Gaza. That doesn't seem to end. Ukraine, it's like now Macron thinks he's going to be the new Napoleon and head off the Russians. I'm sure that'll go great. The French are getting their butts whooped in the in Africa and getting displaced. You know, it's not looking good for Europe. It seems like a wave of populism is definitely upon Europe. We'll see how the AFD and all these German elections and stuff that are coming up, how they go. But it all seems to be trending one direction, which is kind of this remigration push and, you know, Europeans trying to claw their country back. But, we'll see. We got this CBDC coming up for the Euro. It goes live in October, right? I think, if I remember right. So that's coming up. Pretty wild times, but I don't know. What do you think, Bob? What do you think's going on? Where are we going?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, for as many people hate the tariffs and what Trump's doing, I mean, he's just going to be able to stick his boot on the necks of a lot of these guys. I think if you look into the Japan prime minister thing, it does have a lot to do with their economy. They want to raise interest rates, which would send a panic throughout all markets, I think. People are used to that cheap money, and it's interesting. Obviously, turmoil in the UK. Yeah, France sounds like it's going to have to get bailed out by the IMF. We've talked at length on this show about all of the civil unrest and I would say criminality that's going on over there. Seems like they can't get their act together. And I do think Canada, it's interesting, like the pride that you see out of Carney. Maybe we have some Canadians in the audience that would like to come up and talk about it, but it seems like he's not willing to bend the knee and would rather just print money and give out more stimmies to people in Canada, which we know the long-term effects of that. So I don't know. I think, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, with Canada specifically, I saw this crazy number that in the last 10 years, 36% or 38% of their population has been imported. That's insane. So I don't know if we're going to get some more trucker protests. It seems like the Canadians only wake up in the winter. In the summer, they're like, you know, just sunbathing in the mountains all summer and like being in the woods or something. But once the winter, they get bored, they start drinking, and then they, you know, start getting all feisty. So who knows if we see something there, but something's got to be done. They're either going to go full bore this direction, and in another 5 years, it'll be 50% of their population is foreign born in 15 years. That's crazy. That's your culture is gone. You are not what you were at that point. So we'll see if they can, you know, spin up some nativism, but you know, I don't have really any faith in them. They're too nice. They don't have their like hockey animal spirits anymore. So we'll see.
Maybe the hockey season will get them going.
Yeah. They're not even allowed to go out in the woods anymore. So I'm not even sure what's going on there. Pubby, I saw you come off mute before, hands went up. So I'm going to go to you first and then Neil after that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was going to bring up that same stat I saw that Texas Toast had there, that 36%. And what an insane number to immigrate a third of your population. To put in perspective, that'd be, you know, bringing 100 million people into the U.S., all right? 150, we'll say, is going up. And it's unsustainable, you know, and there's jokes about, you know, look at the doctors and lawyers bringing in. But it all dovetails nicely into these unelected officials from the WEF and IMF and want to roll out these, you know, the CBDCs and more control is you're importing a population that just requires government assistance. You know, barely they'll do some of the menial work and, you know, they're going to maybe drive Uber. Here's the thing. Once the population gets to that point, once by demographics, you know, they come in and they start to outpopulate others that are there. Man, it is full on anyone's game. Yeah, it is sad to see Western Europe. It's sad to see what's going on in England and Ireland. And, you know, there's a guy that called somebody a Muppet and got arrested because they were offended by words. It's sad to watch this history that, you know, those of us that are older grew up watching. And no one has that sense of place and home right now. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, thanks for that. Totally agree. Neil, what say you?
Yeah, I was going to kind of hit on that the same thing with, like, you know, you said all that stuff, like, well, what comes to my mind? And it's just like all the craziness in the world. It's like we talk about stacking sats. We talk about, you know, accumulating wealth. And it's like, you know, social capital, that's the greatest, that's the most sovereign wealth of all. And it's like, you know, what are you doing to stack kids? You know, what are you doing to have children to actually contribute to, you know, the propagation of civilization? It's like, that's really important too. And it's, you know, that's kind of the whole reason why we do this in the first place. Like, what's the point of wealth? You know, it's like, if your answer is Lambos, that's fine. But like, you just have to accept that that is, you know, the most, you're kind of stepping outside of, you're isolating yourself from civilization, society itself. Like, when you start having family, when you, like, that's an investment into, you are stepping into, you know, a greater whole. And, I mean, that's where you find meaning. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, in even just like a couple hundred years ago, like, people used to measure, like, you know, when you would meet someone new and they say, like, how many kids do you have? How many children do you have? And like, that was the sign of your, that was your status, you know, how big of a family you had. And it's just kind of like, we've kind of completely flipped that on its head. And it's like, you know, the dual income, you know, no kids. It's like, when you elevate that, it changes, you know, it inverts the priorities of a society. And it's just kind of like, you know, us as Bitcoiners, we're going to have monetary potency. And it's like, what we choose to do with it is, that, like, that's going to sail the ship, direct the ship. And, and that's a responsibility. That's a duty. And if you're not thinking about that, you know, we're not the same, but.
Well, it's making people think, like, what nationalism really is and kind of, you know, how to think about that. And this country was built, if you're an American, if you've had generations here, this country, your ancestors built it for their posterity. And if you have no posterity, then it's like, well, you have no real stake in the country. So, you know, they kind of go alongside right with each other. So you'll see a lot of patriots and people that love this country and don't want it to, you know, want it to be better for their children. And that's kind of this national uprising, I think, that we're seeing with nationalism. People getting fed up, but I don't know how Bitcoin it's gonna help. It's like, are we seeing like a rise in like Bitcoin nationalism, or are we becoming a micro nation but inside of America, or is it gonna populate, you know, and permeate through the entire system? And I'm betting on the latter, that everybody's gonna get on board one way or the other through the financial markets or through all these other things, but it's interesting to see the rise of nationalism kind of in this stage.
I agree. I do think it's a long game though. You know, it's, especially like with football coming back, I think you see people just getting out there on the fantasy apps and betting, and they'd much rather do that than pick the sure bet and buy Bitcoin. Like, this is, what we're up against a little bit. And, I don't know. It's certainly interesting. BFP, I see you're agreeing. I'd rather you fight me, but, did you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I do. I have a 19-year-old son who was, betting on stuff like that. And it's comical to me because he borrowed $100 from me, recently. He said he'd pay me back by the weekend. I'm like, I don't loan money. That's just not for me. I'd rather put it into Bitcoin, and then I loaned it to him anyway, just, you know, because he's my son, and I don't know what he needed it for. But here he is gambling on these just ridiculous, you know, fantasy football things, and he paid me back 50, but he still owes me 50 from, this was last weekend, and he has, you know, a small amount of Bitcoin that I gave him as his early inheritance to teach him, you know, how this money stuff works. But it's just, the culture is so they indoctrinate these children all through the 15,000 hours of schooling, and you know, it's mostly you learn more from your friends and peers than you do the teachers, and it's just the culture we live in. And it's as much as I try and teach them about Bitcoin and how the financial stuff works, it's like they're not interested until it pains them, you know. So we'll see how it plays out.
You need to read your son the parable of I forget what the parable is, but where he gives them money and they come back with less, and my good and faithful servant, I forget all the specifics, but
the talents.
He needs to read that.
Yeah, it's called the parable of the talents.
Yeah, that's in the
he failed
four Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I think it's in there. Yeah, I hear you. Well, now I'm going to use it as if he, you know, ever wants to borrow money. I'd be like, you still owe me 50 from like, I don't know how long it's been.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this topic, guys? I think, you know, if you really look at it, you know, all these things do play together, but we, I don't think you're going to stop. Like it's a big marketing machine when you look at it. That's all these professional sports, organizations are. They're giant marketing organizations, and, they do wield a lot of power because of all the fiat that's, sloshing around. And so I think that this is one of those places where, just in my life, I'll say, like, since becoming, more in tune with Bitcoin, I care less and less all the time about, sports ball, as I call it. And what's funny about it, my, grandfather was a minor in the league, player for the St. Louis Cardinals. And so big into sports, in love with, Major League Baseball. And, he always, looks at me funny now when I say, you know, hey, I haven't paid attention. I don't care much about sports ball. He kind of looks at me cross-eyed. So I do think, for some of us, you know, it's becoming less and less of a thing, but it's still pervasive. I mean, my kids are really into fantasy, not like the daily betting, far too young for that, but they, you know, have their teams and want to talk about it and all that stuff. And I'm like, guys, there's so much more to life than spending, you know, an entire day or a weekend, dealing with, again, grown men running around a field and, chasing after, a ball.
Well, it's a social thing for them. It's like, it's, you know, it's something like the weather that you can talk about and just have like a normal conversation that isn't political or too heavy. It's like, it's very light. So I get it, but, we're in more serious times, I think. I think, that honeymoon kind of like, you laissez-faire, everything's going to be hippy dippy, hunky dory in America, I think is kind of over. and it's like, you get into this doomer mindset, but you have to kind of steel yourself from some of this, and wake up. It's like, you want to just shake people. Your wealth is being eroded. You're in a bed of quicksand, and you're not going to be able to survive or raise a family in the future if you don't get on solid ground. And it's like, so enough with this betting and, betting on frivolous things. And yeah, I get it. It's nice to talk about. I prefer the weather personally for those kinds of conversations. And then I dive straight into Bitcoin and, how everything's going to shit and you need to protect yourself and your family. But that's just me.
That's just me.
Yeah. We bring it on ourselves, right? We're like, hey, the sky is falling. And then people are like, okay, hey, I just wanted to check out and, look at stats on a phone and see if I'm ahead. BFP, I think I see your hand still, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. My son, who I was just talking about, he pointed out the ridiculous amounts of money that the NFL throws at the telly screens and the, you know, the fans and the stadiums and everything. And I just thought it was, very sign of the times. And another thing, I saw the commercials are so much better, you know, I actually kind of force myself to pay attention to the normie stuff nowadays because I got so disinterested. I just lost all touch with sports ball and all that stuff. And I just had head down reading books, but I saw a commercial with Patrick Mahomes on the insurance, Allstate or one of those insurance things he does. And it was hilarious because the Bitcoin meme bled into the commercials. The girl's announcing him. She's like, what's your name? And he's like, Patrick. And she goes, oh, let's give it up for Patrick. He plays sports ball. Like she had no idea who he was, Patrick Mahomes. And it was just a good play on, I don't know who this guy is. He's just a sports ball guy.
Yeah, man. Fortune favors the bold. I saw Grayscale and some commercials and during football. I don't know. They're starting to make a comeback. So we're starting to see this kind of swell of crypto, Bitcoin, maybe treasury company, advertisements coming down through the fall. It'd be funny to see that, Matt Damon back on the screen, you know, getting after it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember Tom Brady for FTX.
Wade, I see your hand. Did want to get to this other topic too, but do you have something on this one that we should hear about?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up that it's been in the news, the Disney and its vertical integration of its entertainment and its sports betting and whatnot. And it's really a sign of the times because, I mean, we can historically go back and look at this country. We've had sports for, you know, centuries here in the United States. But it hadn't necessarily degenerated into an area where you have vertical integration of media companies incorporating sports betting inside their like multi-linked platform, their cross-platform access that they have. And so the thing that's a little bit worrisome is when you look at like the it's one thing for football and fantasy stuff to be a nice little side distraction or a $5 bet or something like that. But we're looking at like, you know, Disney incorporating gambling and sports betting into this app with all of the, with all the cross pollination that they have and then slamming it in people's face. It's going to be an addiction problem.
Yeah. Sadly, I think it already is. Tao, thanks for coming up. I see your hand, sir. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. This is an interesting topic. I wanted to weigh in on my two stats here. So I play poker. I go to the casino. I love, you know, playing craps here and there. And I've also sports betted in the past, basketball, football. And so I want to kind of like frame it a little bit differently. I do think there is a place for it, in the sense where it's a form of entertainment. Now, you have to be responsible for your, money, however you're going to manage your money so that you can, take care of your life, right? And build your life, et cetera. But there are times where you want to be able to have that sort of entertainment, that enjoyment of just putting a bet down, and it is exciting. And I don't know how many of you guys have bet on like a football game, maybe during a Super Bowl or something, but it is exciting because every play that happens in your favor, you cheer for that team. Like you're so excited. Every basket that goes in, you're like, wow, this is so cool. And that high that you get, It's an interesting feeling. And I actually love that feeling, you know, when you have poker, you have some good hands, you can win, things like that. But that's just a feeling, right? That's just a form of entertainment. Okay. That's all it is. And so that entertainment, I think it's no different than you going to do something else. Like you go spend some tickets to the amusement park or you go and, whatever you like, you go to a concert or whatever, right? Some people, they like to gather with their buddies, watch a game, right? And put some money on the game to get that additional sort of excitement And that's it. It's just a form of entertainment. It's not being irresponsible. Although there are people who take it to the stream and think, oh, they can predict everything. And then that's where people get in trouble, right? And then that's being not responsible for your finances, et cetera, right? I do think this whole sports betting thing, whatever it is, there is a place, right, for everybody if they're interested in it, but not something to, hey, I'm going to build my wealth doing this. So yeah, that's my two cents. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, I guess I don't want to paint the picture that this is all like horrible. I think we've kind of touched on it. You know, it is a social thing. But I do fear that too many people, especially young people, do bet too much, right? And they're taking their entertainment a little too far. So I think that's a good frame, Tao. Did want to transition topics, though. Kind of reset the room. Guys, if you would like to come up, we'd love to have you. Hit that microphone button in the bottom left. Otherwise, throw your comments in that purple pill. But the topic I wanted to cover is this, well, and mainly I wanted to hear from Wade on this, but this news that came out that, we had, I think it was upwards of 475 illegal, and they were not of Hispanic descent. It sounds like they were from South Korea, but they overstayed their welcome at a Hyundai plant in Georgia. And interesting to see that despite these folks providing economic activity, that the Trump administration didn't give any warning to Hyundai and say, hey, you need to, you know, fix these people who have overstayed their visas. They just went in and rounded them all up. And so Wade had sent me an article that, before the show that kind of indicated maybe one of the main reasons for that is wage suppression, right? Hyundai was getting an unfair advantage by, you know, allowing these people to stay and not having to pay as much in wages maybe. And so, maybe I teed that up too much for you, Wade, but wanted to hear a little bit of your thoughts on this. And, I think it is interesting, for the audience. In relation to the other things we've been talking to about Bitcoin this morning and what's going on around the world as well.
Yeah, Bob, I kind of want to link this historically to some of the concerns I had regarding the historical Biden chips and infrastructure funding, because this plant in question received $3 billion in tax credits to produce these batteries for EV and hybrid vehicles. And one of my largest concerns with the new administration coming in was that they should have put a pause or seized or had a significant amount of these funds returned. Historically, many of the departmental inspector generals had issued warnings stating that this is one of the most, it was one of the largest and fastest, distribution of funds from the Treasury for these types of stimulative projects. And I think we're just going to continue to see billions, if not trillions, of additional dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse out there. This looks like it was one of the largest, most successful immigration and wage suppression fraud investigations going on in the Southeast. There were hundreds of people that were detained for probable cause down there. Obviously, ongoing investigation. We're not going to know the full details of it until we get there. But I had some serious concerns about major subcontractors for these prime contractors that have received billions of dollars in tax credits and government handouts. And effectively what they're doing is, one, I'm not saying it's an issue that many of these projects have been moved to the South, which are right to work states, right? So you're kind of carving out, you're getting some wage suppression there already by not using union labor. But now you're getting to a point where You're using a foreign illegal craft non-union labor, and even the local construction firms aren't getting the opportunity to bid on some of these projects because it's all effectively antitrust labor wage suppression fraud. So that was my kind of 10,000 foot take on it. So happy to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead, Texas.
Yeah, I mean, we see this all across the country. You know, I have family in a small town in the heartland, and you know, the same kind of things are going on in these factories all over the place. You just see it, you know, I saw it at the dry cleaners. You see it in these places where it's like, you know, families are living in these really cheap apartments that don't have washers and dryers. And that's where you see them all coming in. You're like, who are these people that are in this town? And they're all foreign and none of them were born there. And where are they working? They're working at the factories. And you know that if it's done legally or illegally, they aren't from here. They're getting subsidized to work there. That's the big thing, is the subsidies. So it's exactly to your point. It's suppressing the American wage. And I think hopefully they're going to do some stuff to go against that. But yeah, I don't see that as a one-off problem. This is only the second major news headline I've seen. The, if you remember, you know, maybe it was 3 or 4 months ago, we had that Tyson plant, that they did the same thing at. And so this is just the ones that are making the headlines, but this is happening. This has happened on a mass scale across this country. So, you would hope that as some of this stuff gets cleared out, you know, you start to get the average American getting a, getting an increase in their wage and, able to take care of their families the way it's supposed to be.
And just thinking for in the attempt for the administration, this administration and the previous administration to reshore, and, you know, step up, our industrial priorities, critical defense, critical national defense priorities, we're realizing that we have no labor to do it. We don't have the qualified craft labor. We're not willing to pay the qualified craft labor wage to reshore the industrial and production capacity that we need to even be functional. I mean, the craft labor jobs that we're talking about down there, it's no wonder that they got ratted out to the feds, because you're talking about, you know, $50, $100, $150 craft union wage positions down there. And the workers have been completely, and even the American construction firms have been completely cut out of the process. I mean, this is a direct handout from the United States Treasury in billion-dollar tax credits to foreign firms that are going to engage in fraud.
Yeah, and you wonder why, you know, this is, maybe it hasn't gotten as bad in the United States. I mean, we were talking earlier about nationalism. It's not just, you know, the turnover or importation of people, you know, other nationalities into countries. It's also stuff like this. It's the jobs. Tao, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Ooh, this is an interesting topic, very touchy topic too. So I want to preface it with like, cause we're talking about the Hyundai factory, right? The workers there, that they're not necessarily legal, or their visa or something expire. So I do have, some, I guess, you know, people that been working, doing all our sort of gardening and landscaping for, many, many years, over 15 to 20, probably 20 years. They're great people. I love them, et cetera. I don't know their documentation situation, whatever. I don't really care, things like that. But in regards to this whole topic in general, you know, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, do people have the right to pursue happiness? Right? Because I do think, how are these people are coming through or coming in? That's all they're trying to do, is they're trying to build a life, for their family, you know, and pursue, you know, just like everyone else is. Every day you do something to, you know, build a life and pursue some sort of happiness. Do people, like, at a basic level have that right? Well, the only problem with that is, well, you are, you know, doing it illegally, right, against the law. And that also affects the people who are currently, let's say, in the U.S. And, you know, whether it's businesses, right, competing businesses or jobs, right, jobs where they're not, might not be as many to go around, et cetera. And that's you know, maybe a more deeper topic as far as the competition goes, but it does have some impact, of course. It does have some impact, and we don't know how that dynamic will shift if, let's say, no illegals came in, et cetera, right? So, but then we also have the law, right? We wrote laws for a specific reason. And if you have laws written, what's the purpose? I mean, what's the point if you're not gonna enforce it, right? It's like, I'm gonna write it, but forget about it. Let's do whatever. No, that doesn't make sense. So, you know, I'm gonna come down, like, if I had to kind of make a sort of like opinion, and I'll be completely honest, because I'm not from the U.S. either, right? I do think people need to follow the law. I mean, that's why we wrote it. And if we feel that, hey, it's too strict or whatever may be the case, then it needs to be updated, right? But if we have laws written, the point is to, you know, abide by those laws. And people, you know, will get their opportunities as long as they follow the rules. So that's just my opinion. It's a very complex topic.
Yeah, though. I mean, it's not to say that people aren't, like, trying to, you know, there aren't good people, you know, everywhere. There's a lot of good people. There's some bad apples. Like, when nobody's making the argument that, like, all these people are evil and need to be killed, or, like, that's crazy. But, you know, you kind of get down to what you were talking about at the end there. It's like, why do we have laws? What is a nation? It gets to these fundamental levels where it's like, okay, why are we here? What are we doing here? Is this just a free for all and everybody? No, you create a nation and you have laws, you know, that is a creation of you and your people and your posterity and your ancestors, and you want it for your children. So then we get back to that, and it's like, okay, that's why we have laws, to protect our citizens and allow them to freely, you know, pursue their happiness. That's where I kind of come in on this. And it's like, you're starting to scratch at it there at the end there. And it's not to say that everybody's bad. We're all humans. Like, especially if you're a Christian, you understand the human nature of everybody, and we're all created equal in the eyes of God. But there's a proper way to do things, and we have to kind of, you know, treat people with some humility and humanity and respect. But if you have, if you want to, you know, have a nation, you have to be able to defend it as well.
Yeah. And I do think it can be argued that some of these people may be victims themselves. Now I might get a lot of pushback on that, but I think, you know, if you look at the type of visas that they overstayed, they were training visas. So essentially these people were, you know, brought in to be trained and presumably to be sent back to factories in other countries to work for Hyundai. And so back to Wade's point, I think, while it's fine for people to be, you know, pursuing happiness and all that stuff, that's great. I totally think that's fine. It's really these corporations that are taking advantage and impacting workers and other companies, by, you know, taking handouts from the government that we're all paying for because it's printed money. And again, I don't want to paint it as, hey, like all these major corporations, but like in these instances, I think maybe the broader point here is like, should we be, incentivizing major corporations if they can't follow the rules, and what are the implications? So as much as we want jobs here, from these corporations, a lot of them have hollowed us out, labor-wise in other ways. And then, now that they've repatriated or come back and are, saying, hey, we're going to create a bunch of jobs, if they're not playing by the rules, are they really creating the jobs that they said they would, with the stimulus that we're giving them. So again, I'm just, kind of, I'm not trying to place blame like solely anywhere, but I do think like as much as we can have bleeding hearts for these people, cause I do think some of them are probably victims. I do think like the bigger story is all the corruption that goes on between the government and unnecessary printing and money creation and, you know, helping major corporations that are really just taking advantage of the American people and the American worker. So anyway, that was a long thing. I think we have a couple of hands. I'll give Wade a chance and then BFP.
I'll close out on this, Bob. I'll be a little harsher than you. I will attribute some blame because Hyundai as a prime contractor has a contractual, if not legal obligation to be in compliance with the e-check. The e-check controls, the immigration controls for their employees. And they have a responsibility to take control of their subcontractors, which they clearly have not been in control of their subcontractors.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I just want to be careful. I'm not an attorney or don't know that much about immigration. I just am kind of like a lot of other people who pay attention to the news. BFP, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think it's a hot topic right now, especially, but I have a brother-in-law that is full-blooded Filipino, and he earned his way over here through years and years of just tumultuous, you know, get checking the boxes, and my mother-in-law married a serviceman, you know, and my wife's dad was in the Navy.
Everybody in the military
Navy,
that's
I think.
Filipino mafia, dude.
Yeah, so, well, whatever happened, it took him, he had to live with his grandma without his mom for, I don't know, at least a decade or more. And finally, now he has his citizenship and, earned it the right way. You know, he works for Herschel and he's got a family, he's doing well. But that being said, I don't agree with this flip-flopping. Like the Biden administration invites everyone in. Now we have California filled, you know, with immigrants that are get, you know, hoodwinked. I mean, they're giving them money, putting them on planes, just the absurdity. And then the next administration comes in and flips. It's red team, blue team, and it's got to stop because the every 4 years flip-flopping like that, it's not right to do that to people and families. And it's just sad to see. And then they, you know, they show up to try and get their stuff in line and then they get arrested and thrown back at the place where they're trying to be good citizens. So it's just it's a hodgepodge and it's all messed up. They need to like stand on business and be about like, get a good policy and stick with it, not this flip-flopping crap.
Yep, it is. There's lots of problems out there. Maybe we can finish out the show here with some good news. Sounds like another solo miner found a block. What do you guys think about that? As we try to transition away from this topic. Why are people still mining, guys, when the fees are so low? Like, what's the economic incentive? I'm just curious. Like, what are you guys' thoughts on this? We've had sustained very low fee rates on chain, and yet the hash rate last week hit all new all-time highs and pulled back a little bit now, but still maybe we can finish off with this topic. What are you guys' thoughts on this?
Yeah, that one guy got a cool 300 US guck bucks. So that's pretty awesome. That's basically it. Energy monetization, where there was a, where their energy could not be monetized efficiently before. Now it is. I think that combined with, or now it's able to, and that combined with like the state kind of incentives of, being a part of the network and having their ability to pass blocks through, I think is going to become more and more prevalent and, you know, kind of define the economics of mining for the next decade, especially as the block reward subsidy diminishes. I think all this stuff about, you know, JPEGs and data, I think it's a lot of it's noise. you know, it's missing the forest for the trees. And, I think a lot of different stuff's going on with mining. So I wish it was me, that mined that block. Unfortunately, it wasn't. As soon as I heard that, probably like a lot of you, I went to saw my little solo mining wallet to see if it populated with 3 Bitcoin, and it did not. So I was sad, but maybe I'll get them
next time.
It's the little engine that could. That's what I like about it. It's 3. The little guy story.
1.125 Texas toast.
3.125 Bitcoin.
I feel like I won the day. I got you to come up here.
Hello.
What are your thoughts?
Happy Monday. In the year 2025, it is still more profitable, even with 3.125 subsidy, than it was at 6.25 subsidy in the last epoch. The number go up, a very important ingredient in this equation. Also, you know, it still remains, if you have really affordable energy to supply as the inputs to this activity, you can basically generate Bitcoin at a discount to what the exchange market is doing. And this is the primary incentive for mining. You ask the question, why are people mining? I give you the number one answer: to get Bitcoin at a discount. You know, I actually am quite happy mining, pointing my hash rate to Ocean, where I get paid out direct in the Coinbase transaction from the protocol. So I get these so-called virgin sats straight from the protocol, no KYC. And there's some more great reasons to mine. I think it's actually a thing where over time that's a more and more important factor. You know, just going and creating a Coinbase account or a, you know, Gemini account or a Kraken account, like just, you know, KYCing and buying on the exchange is looking like a very much less attractive option too, if you can actually get some Bitcoin in cold storage from the source. So yeah, there's a ton of reasons why this hash rate continues and will continue to keep piling up. It's pretty tremendous. We are actually just, creeping up on the 1 zeta hash on these longer, average readings of hash rate, which is really incredible. You know, we had just a couple days ago a massive difficulty increase of almost 5%, and that was at already all time high difficulty. So we're at screamingly high difficulty right now. And meanwhile, in the last 24 hours, 158 blocks when we only expect 144. So, you know, this network is a monster. And I would say that hash rate chart and the trend of just where, you know, that activity subsector of the Bitcoin landscape is going is probably the most bullish thing ever. Switch out your price chart for a hash rate chart. It's pretty damn bullish. Cheers.
Yeah, I love that take. And maybe there's some other people that want to chime in, but I think it's really good perspective for folks, and especially for people who haven't been maybe paying attention or don't know how Bitcoin works. I think we get a variety of people in the space, and love all you guys for being here each day, listening to us at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll do it again tomorrow, but I do think that, it's really interesting when you zoom out on the mining space. And, you know, a lot of people have their tail between their legs because they say, hey, you know, this is all corporatized. It's all run by a bunch of very large scale miners. It's further consolidated by, you know, mining pools that everyone's a part of. And, you know, it's a little scary. And so people choose not to pay attention or to mine or understand how these things work. But I think, some of what you said, TC, actually all of what you said was, well put. And, people should really pay attention to this part of Bitcoin. I wonder why, like, considering everything you laid out there for us, TC, why we're still having this, op return debate, why people aren't talking more about the mining space and how we're hitting new all-time highs and all the bullish stuff that you just brought up. And I don't want to go down that path, but I just feel like people are bored and a certain segment of Bitcoin Twitter has stoked a lot of emotions in people, unnecessarily maybe in some cases. And I don't know. I think these are the things that we should be talking about on Spaces, maybe even more so than what we spent the first 50 minutes talking about. So I really do appreciate you coming up here and
hey,
sharing.
Bob,
yeah, go ahead.
I saw, I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember. But on my feed this morning, somebody was saying, if you're new to Bitcoin, this infighting is normal.
It's bear market.
This is literally, it's crab market, honestly. Like, I think crab market infighting is nastier than bear market infighting, because bear market infighting, a lot of the tourists go home and it's really just the diehards remaining. But in this crab market where, you know, we have these spurts of, you know, bull market activity and a bunch of new people crowd in, and then suddenly, oh, you know, heaven forbid we go sideways for a month, you know, everybody loses their damn mind. But, you know, I mean, honestly, let's not overlook the fact that, you know, you're talking about a bunch of people who care very dearly about this thing in Bitcoin. So if they perceive some kind of threat, especially if they perceive an internal threat from people who, you know, should be, you know, looking out for Bitcoin, I don't think it's unreasonable for people to really get, you know, passionately, drawn into that conflict. And I think it's to be expected, and, you know, don't disregard it, because in every pleb's heart is their own, you know, understanding and context for Bitcoin. And, you know, people really do put their whole lives and invest a lot of themselves in it. So expect impassioned, bloody, drawn out, you know, fist fights. And that's, I think, to be expected. It's just part of the deal.
This too shall pass. Rico, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, good afternoon, good morning. I'm doing great. I appreciate TC sobering voice. I agree, like hash rate's doing fine, the network's doing fine. I think that we haven't realized that Bitcoin has been co-opted by Wall Street, and there's a lot of volatility, I would say, and that's what we're feeling. I mean, Bitcoin has always been kind of infighting between the plebs for the greater good, but I think now it's just become speculative and everybody's just trying to figure out who has the alpha and who's making the right decisions. And if you think about it, Bitcoin's just, it's for you, it's individual. So it's not, there's no general like encapsulating way to be in Bitcoin. You just do you. But right now everybody's signaling that you should be doing this. And we are in this crab bull market with this sideways chop that feels like it's forever. And I have been there cycles before, and this always happens, but with the amount of people coming into this space, it just feels so intense that people just really need to take a break for their own cycle, their mental state. So yeah, I just wanted to like reiterate that, don't take it so serious, guys. Like that's not, you know, I mean, take it serious when it comes to the decisions how you were in Bitcoin, but don't take everybody else so serious, because that's what it is. Everybody's taking way too much input on everybody else's outputs, and just like grain of salt, guys. You know, Satoshi is like your two sats. You know, it doesn't have to be your entire life on a conversation and that you're so right. Like we're so early, and most of us are completely wrong. And we're just trying to figure out, you know, who to kind of, in a sense, connect with in the space. And you know, like I said, it's just everybody's just so focused on everybody else's opinions that they're not even just taking care of their lowly selves. So anyways, dude, good conversation. Great. And yeah, hash rate's up, guys. Like price does follow hash. We have like the highest stock to flow ratio in any commodity, any valuation of anything ever created. And if you don't know what the stock to flow is, it's basically how much it would take to, how much energy it would take to recreate an asset or commodity And Bitcoin has the highest spot to flow. It's at 120, where gold is at 60. So we're way ahead of the curve there.
Yeah, it's a really good perspective. And want to start wrapping it up here. We're just past the hour. Do try to keep these to an hour if possible, just to respect people's time. But do enjoy everybody come up here and sharing their thoughts and everyone who listens. Anybody on the stage want to give some final thoughts before we wrap it up for this Monday?
Good to go. Happy Monday. Have a good week. See you tomorrow.
Your fantasy football team has one last chance tonight, I guess. I'll wrap it up with that since we've been joking about the NFL coming back into season. But guys, want to give another reminder and shout out to the Bitcoin Veterans Second Annual Summit, November 10th and 11th. Visit bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. Tickets are live, so would love to see you there. And that's a wrap. Again, want to thank the speakers. Want to thank everybody who listens in each day. Hopefully we make this fun and interesting. We haven't really spent as much time talking about news lately, so it's kind of fun. We've been more topical, which has also been fun. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it. If you guys do have any input for the show, if you want to tell me I suck, just DM me. I do like hearing from you, especially the music that Eric has to play every day. Try to give him some input, some direction. It was kind of fun to hear a country song, 21 Summer, even though it doesn't really, doesn't feel like it because people are all pissed off at each other about Op Return. So anyway, we try to have fun on the show. We try to laugh at ourselves and each other. But we'll do this all again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. Please do join us. And that's all I have for today. Want to wish you a great Monday. And as always, do not shitcoin. It's like pumping kerosene into an unleaded tank.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them core. We call them core.